Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tau Schmid.
And it is a final from Los Angeles as the Brewers fall in this one. The results are not good. 5-2, and welcome, everybody. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen and Baby Tausch. Come on now.
Yeah, I played the wrong open. That's my fault.
Yes, you did. Right here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios, ready to go, coffeed up, caffeined up, and ready to talk about the Brewers' situation here after this loss, an 8-3 mark. And don't look now, the Brewers have lost 2 of 3. Oh, sound the alarm. Brewers have lost 2 of 3. Look out now. Now, this was a tough one, man. You get good pitching, and you just didn't get enough offense here. You had the old Adam ball going tonight. That's kind of what occurred tonight as they fall in this one. Some nice defensive plays on both sides of the baseball. As Yelich, for a while there, it was the difference in the game. Yelly getting robbed by Mike Trout in this one. And the Brewers did a decent job staying in the game, as I said. Chase Anderson, Justin Bour, by the way, had two nemesis-type Brewer killers get the Brewers. Justin Bour, I just recall over the years here that he has hit some big home runs against the Brewers. Most times, obviously, in a Marlins uniform.
Yeah, he has. He has. And the ex-Cub factor today was strong. You know, Trevor Cahill had a very good start. Tommy LaStella goes deep.
I hate that dude. I can't stand that guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. I mean, just in terms of what he does against the Brewers, just...
Yeah, he's so frustrating. Like, he is definitely frustrating, that's for sure.
Yeah, if you want to jump in here, we're going to be here a while. It doesn't matter what time it is. 414-799-1250 as the Brewers get the loss. We need to talk a little bit about the offense here tonight. As, you know, that may be a little bit of the Achilles heel, or is it? Because after today's final of just two runs on the board for the Crew, just the second time. If my notes are correct here, it's just the second time this year the Brewers have scored less than four runs.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, part of the problem with the Brewers' offense is that guys who have been struggling continue to struggle. Travis Shaw, 0-for-4, looked lost. His average is down to 171.
Yeah, look at Zeus, too.
Oh, man. God, you know, Zeus, wow. 0-for-4. He's down to 129.
Yeah, these two guys, again, it's early. It is early, and so... I mean, we have to consider that as well. But again, these guys have, you know, if they're hitting 240, maybe the Brewers have only, you know, two losses or one loss on the board. I mean, it's that close. Run differential, I think, coming into this game was +1 for the Crew here in the 2019 championship season. But they fall game one of a three-game set in L.A. against the Angels. And let's go over the game recap here. Some interesting stuff here in this game. First inning, neither team scores. Yelich did have a one-out base hit in that first inning. Chacin into some trouble in the bottom of the first inning. A couple of walks. And, however, he does get a double play to get out of that thing. So we'll take that. As you move into the second inning, where the Crew gets on the board after one out, Moustakas with a base hit. And right out of the chute here in the second inning, as we recap the game, is our Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Moustakas, an easy double, a sort of a cruise double it should have been, but no, this is what happened.
Moustakas sets it well into right field, and Calhoun's going to have to play that off the wall. Moustakas stumbles around first, but he's going to have to retreat. Turf Monster gets him, and it took away a double. It's a long single and a smile from Carlos Cerbero.
Are you kidding me? Moose, come on, man. It's wild. I played youth football many, many, obviously, years ago. We had a kid that played quarterback that when he took off running, literally would be just like, it would just fall down. He actually, there were a couple of times, Jeff, where he would run to the sidelines to talk to the coach and fall down either on his way to the sidelines or the way back out to the field.
That's awesome.
It's crazy. It does happen. I get it. It happens to us too, but most times we've got a few beers in us. Mike Moustakas hopefully didn't when he had your are you kidding me moment of the game tonight. But Grandal, after that, drew a walk, and after a Thames strikeout, here's how the Brewers took the lead. Orlando Arcia swinging a hot bat.
The Royals payoff pitch is into left field, a base hit. Rounding third, Moustakas, he will score. Grandal to third as the throw goes all the way to the backstop. And the Brewers have runners at second and third. First run of the game for the Brew Crew.
Yeah, there good you job, go. Buddy. That's when the game was going well for the crew. They're up one zip. Angels, right away, bottom half, a couple of runs. They take the lead, a walk and a base hit starts getting out. Yelich, how about this play to keep, well, a big inning from happening?
It's coming, it's coming. Here we go.
Chassin ready with a 2-1 pitch. In the air, right center field. Yelich on the run, and he makes the catch. Christian Yelich coming up with it, and Pujols racing back, and he's doubled off at second. Christian Yelich with a tremendous play in the gap turns it into a double play.
Yeah, and that play right there did save a big inning because La Stella then hits the two-run home run, and the Angels take the lead 2-1. It's interesting about that play is In checking that thing out, both on TV and then the radio call on Levering, yeah, it was a great play. It was a double play, and I wouldn't say that it was way over the top like that. I mean, I don't want to downplay a double play here, but it's exciting and all that. But was it that, you know, great of a web gem?
No. No, it wasn't. It was a very average play.
I don't know if it was just me or what.
It was a very average play. He had to run a long way. He had the ball in his glove, took about three steps, and then basically fell over. And then he was able to double off Pujols because he had a brain fart or is just, you know, just made an awful play.
Sometimes you wonder about these guys, man. You really wonder. A ball hit into the gap with less than two out. What's the normal protocol in baseball, guys? The normal protocol in that situation, which Pujols is a million-year veteran here.
Yeah.
He knows what it is. Go halfway, maybe a tick over halfway. You watch the play. You're a bystander at that point. If the ball drops in any way, you're scoring anyway. Where do you think you're going? Where would the risk be here? Sometimes you wonder, man. You really do. And I'm not saying I know more about baseball than any of those players, but on that play, Pujols, I don't know what you're thinking, dude. It disappoints me, even though it worked to the Brewers' favor. It's just somewhat disappointing on that play to see players do that. Nonetheless, La Stella hits that two-run shot, and Angels take the lead 2-1. Brewers score nothing in the third inning. The reason why, check this out, for a great player, yes, but probably the best player in all of baseball. Check this out off the bat of Christian Yelich.
So many years.
Yelich, a fly ball, hit back into center field. Mike Trout near the wall, reaching up, and he takes one away from Yelich. One MVP to another, and Christian can only smile.
Yeah, what are you going to do there? I mean, I don't know, man. It got interesting as the Angels were getting Chassin maybe into a little bit of a trouble, but the old strike him out, throw him out, double play, that really helps the pitcher.
We'll count to Trout now. Runner on the move, a swing and a miss. Throw down to second, and that is a strike him out, throw him out, double play. Grandal to the covering Moustakas.
Brad Ausmus did challenge that play right there, but it was upheld, and the play stood. And we moved to the fourth inning with a 2-1 ball game. Moustakas, some moose calls in California. How about this off the bat of Mike Moustakas?
His career, and there's a fly ball hit back into center field. Mike Trout measuring it, trying to climb the wall, and this one's out of here. Mike Moustakas to center field ties the game at two.
And with one out, the inning did continue. Yasmani Grandal, a base hit. And then Thames was hit by a pitch, but Orlando Arcia, as hot as he's been, guys, hits into a double play to end that inning. And for the most part, that was the last threat for the Brewers as they fall in this one 5-2. Chacin goes 6 1/3, gets into the seventh, and you got to take your hat off to Yoli Chacin in this one because he pitched pretty darn good. 6 1/3. Gives up three hits. Those three runs, two of those three hits, obviously home runs. And then Chase Anderson comes in. He pitches one full inning on the ledger. But, again, he gives up a home run. That's what Chase Anderson. Brewers fall. Alex Wilson had to come in to bail that out. They fall tonight 5-2, the final 8-3 after the game one of this three-game set loss in L.A. against the Angels. And some offensive concerns here. Maybe a little early, but nonetheless, you got to talk about them a little bit. And as much as we were saying, you know, Orlando Arcia is having a rough, rough year, he went 6-for-10 in the Cubs series.
Yeah, he's starting to put some good lumber on the ball. And, you know, you brought up the fact that, you know, he did ground in into a big double play today. But at least he's making contact. His average is all the way up now to .242.
Yeah.
And when you have a lineup as stacked as the Brewers where – on a normal day, obviously, you know, you're playing with the DH today, so you had Thames batting eighth. But on a normal day, when you've got Yasmani Grandal in the seventh spot, that means your lineup is stacked. And, you know, I don't expect much more than .240s, .250s out of Orlando. And with his glove, you know, you can live with that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the other guys that are struggling, like Jesus and Travis and all that, that, you know, Eric Thames as well. You know, you gotta start getting some hits here. And, yes, it is 11 games into the season, but it's time, guys.
In the same regard that you know, maybe chastise or get on the Chicago Cubs a little bit for getting into a rough start. You know, you say it's early and they say it's early. Same theory applies here to the Brewers here in the 2019 championship season. I mean, you do have to consider the early go here. Travis Shaw did have a little bit of a battle with his bat in the dugout earlier tonight. That some frustration showing for Travis Shaw. Now, I thought that early on in the year, there was a game against the Cardinals and certainly a game against the Cincinnati Reds in which, you know, I thought he was seeing the ball well. He was drawing walks, and that usually is a good thing for a decent hitter. When you're starting to draw your walks, you know a hot streak is coming. It just didn't come for Travis Shaw. Over the Cubs series, Shaw was 1-for-9. He did have the RBI, and it was a big one in the Brewers' victory yesterday, but 1-for-9 in that series. Moustakas was 0-for-9 in that series. Zeus, not good in the series. Zeus, just not good this year. However, I'll give Zeus this. He has hit into some loud outs.
He has, and yeah. Shaw has too. He, you know, when he makes contact, you know, he had 4 Ks today, 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. So
he's not on a good roll, man.
No, he's wearing a golden sombrero. But
I would venture a guess that you're probably going to see a little bit of HP here. Maybe Moose moves over to third. Travis Shaw may have to sit for a second. You know, it makes sense to me to cool his jets a little bit. Settle him down as well. 799-1250. Vincent, our buddy in Anaheim, in L.A., Vincent. Well, your two favorite teams going at it, man. How was it?
Yeah, man, it's bittersweet sometimes, but, hey, as an Angel fan, we need these victories, man. We just got out of the cellar right now because Oakland lost, I think. So we just out of the cellar. And as a Brewer fan, though, I'm not only concerned about it. Hey, it's one of those games, you know, inconsistent offense a little bit. But, you know, the weather over here, it's still like 71 degrees right now as we speak, you know. So I think, you know, the ball was flying out of there a little bit gooder, better. I mean,
so, you know, I tell you, Vincent, I'll keep you right here to chat for a second. First of all, yeah, don't today here in Milwaukee, it was beautiful. It was damn near 70 degrees here. I mean, just a gorgeous day. Now it's going to be upper 30s by Wednesday. So you better enjoy that weather out there. It was 77 degrees at first pitch in LA tonight. But I want to just let you know, I didn't realize this. They said it during the broadcast here tonight that of all the years that Pujols and Trout have played together, You guys have only made the postseason one of those years with those two studs playing.
1 year, and guess what? We got swept by the damn Kansas City Royals, but my Giants got them back in the World Series, so it was all good. But yeah, we got swept. I think Trout, he did okay. He wasn't that great in the playoffs. So yeah, man, it's crazy. I mean, we locked up Trout for life unless something bad happens to him, you know, God forbid or anything like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's pretty cool. Mike Trout is one hell of a player. Honestly, I'm glad he's not in the National League, let alone the National League Central.
Hey, man, I'm just glad he. I mean, yeah, for real. That's for sure. We always have that star. See, as an Angel fan, we always have those, like, minor stars, or we always have those guys that are kind of, like, over the hill, Torii Hunter, Hideki Matsui, Mo Vaughn. You know what I mean? We always had that because we needed something to attract people to come, you know, and watch the games and all that.
Teams, you're a little bit younger, though. Those teams in the early 80s that the Angels had, the old California Angels, man.
Yeah.
Those teams, I was talking to Jerry Augustine about those teams and Jerry facing that all-star lineup. I mean, you're looking at, back in the day, that team, I don't see how the Brewers beat them. I know the Brewers were damn good in 82, but they beat a team that had Reggie Jackson, Fred Lynn, Bobby Gritch, Doug DeCinza. I mean, Don Baylor was on that team. Bob Boone was on that team. It was an amazing team.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I know every time the 82, I always hear, man, you beat the Angels. I'm like, damn, man, why do you have to beat the Angels? I wasn't even born yet, so, you know, it wasn't that, you know, I ain't going to hold it against y'all, you know what I mean?
So, all right, you going to the game tomorrow?
No, I'll be there Wednesday. I already planned it. I'll be Wednesday for sure. But maybe, hey, Chuck and Winkler, I told him, hey, the Angels going to win like three, you know, two out of the three games, man. I got to put it down because we need the wins more. But, hey, you know, keep your head up as a Brewer fan. I was thinking maybe you should put Travis Shaw back him as a DH. You know what I mean? Maybe get him out of the, you know, out of that funk because he's in some type of funk. And, you know, Jesus Aguilar, same thing. Put Eric Thames at first. Put Jesus Aguilar as a DH, you know, so you don't have to. You know, hey, Jesus Aguilar, a big guy. You don't have to be playing defense. Just kind of focus on getting a hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Vincent, hey, we'll talk to you maybe tomorrow, but for sure on Wednesday after the game, all right?
For sure, man. Hey, keep your heads up, man.
Hey, all Vincent, right. Vincent, before you hang up, were there any fights between Brewers fans and Angels fans tonight at the ballpark?
Okay. I'm not sure because I wasn't there, but I don't think so. But, hey, there's a good spot on Instagram. It's called MLB the S word talkers, and he posts like fights of every like random, like he posted a Colorado Rocky fight. So you might be able to find some. I don't think so, man. I think Angel fans, we don't like Dodger fans more. But believe me, I heard people. I went to the restroom one time, and I heard some guys say, "Hey, man, I can't wait till the Yankee fans come. We're gonna beat them down." And I just started cracking up, man.
Wow.
It's, you know, it just depends what fan base is there. But believe me, when the Kansas City Royals came there during the playoffs, there was a lot of fighting going down.
Well, do me a favor, Vincent. When you go on Wednesday, keep your head on a swivel, and you let us know if there's any kind of fisticuffs going on in the stands.
For sure. I'll be wearing my Milwaukee
Brewer
hat and an Angel jersey.
There you go. Best of both worlds. All right, Vincent, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Take it easy. I seriously doubt that the fan bases have some angst between the Brewers and the Angels.
Oh, you littered your peanut shells on my shoes.
Oh, yeah, that's enough to go at it. Yeah. Spark of the game brought to you by Current Electric. It had to be, unfortunately, the spark that Mike Trout had for the Angels tonight and yanking one back from Christian Yelich. He had a home run ball taken away from Mike Trout. Turned out to be a big run in the game, and I'll tell you why next. It's a lot bigger than you think. I know the final score was 5-2. Craig Counsell and I may disagree on a certain philosophy, and it wouldn't be the first time. It certainly won't be the last time. But I want to bounce this off you guys to see if it makes sense. And his philosophy in terms of what the score is and how he handles his pen. We'll talk about that next. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen, Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and Sam Schmitz as well here on The Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
5-2 the final. Brewers fall in game one of this three-game set out in L.A. against the Los Angeles Angels. And Yoli Chacin, not his fault, man. He had a quality start. Three hits, three runs over six and a third. He did retire the final 10 men that he faced. And wrench and go drive of the game. I was going to give it to Yelich, but that thing was caught. Thanks to Mike Trout. Thankfully, he didn't bring this one back. Our drive of the game with Wrench and Go, it is Mike Moustakas in the fourth.
His career, and there's a fly ball hit back into center field. Mike Trout measuring it, trying to climb the wall, and this one's out of here. Mike Moustakas to center field ties the game at two.
Highlights tonight from Fox Sports Wisconsin. Matt LePay on the call, 799-1250, if you want to join the conversation here and talk some Brewers baseball late night. Doesn't matter what time it is for us. I don't care. I never did care. It could be middle of the night, middle of the day, morning. I don't care when it is, as long as we're talking Brewers baseball. Sam, you're back there. Can you? We'll get a gut check here through 11 games. Brewers are 8-3, and not that I'm freaking out over it at all, guys. It's just I want to just kind of nutshell this thing offensively for the. I'm not doing that. The current batting averages. I'm always as much data that's out there, as much of the sabermetric game that it is. I'm a guy that starts with the batting average, always have been. I don't think that's ever going to change. I've certainly have adopted the strength of the on-base percentage as well over the years. Mm-hmm. But I start with the batting averages, and we'll get the current batting averages of the Brewers' offensive players in just a second here. But where might your concern be, 799-1250, within that batting order, within the position player group? And philosophically with Craig Counsell, was reading some quotes earlier this morning that Craig Counsell had said that you handle things a little bit differently. In essence, I'm sort of paraphrasing. You handle things a little differently depending on the score in terms of bullpen. Okay, that's obvious, right? But what he did was he added, you hedge toward tomorrow when you're down. That is his quote.
Yeah.
So you do hedge your decisions for tomorrow when you're down in a game. Now, he didn't say how much down. He didn't say three runs down, one run down. He didn't put a number on it. Take tonight's game, for example. If you apply that philosophy to tonight's game, if this game, now, it was just a one-run game when Chacin exited. And I'm not saying don't trust Chase Anderson. I'm just saying don't trust him now in a tight game, right? Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. As much as I like Chase Anderson, as much as we get along Chase Anderson, as much as he's a good dude, Chase Anderson, just for now, he shouldn't be in a tight ball game like this. But since they were down only one run, was Craig Counsell then utilizing that philosophy of hedging his decisions toward tomorrow's game? And then we saw what happened. Would Chase Anderson have been in this ball game had the Brewers had three instead of two?
Yeah, I don't think so. If Trout wouldn't have robbed that homer by Yelich, I think, you know, and so the game is tied. I think there's no way Chase Anderson enters that ballgame.
I might agree with you. And that's where this hedging toward tomorrow may not be an exact science. I think that's a feel thing. If you're down one, man, this type of offense, they can put up numbers in a hurry.
Yep.
One swing of the bat. Should it have been? I know we discussed this a little bit last year. And Craig Counsell was emphatic about it in regards to Josh Hader, saying, you know, I'm not going to use him when we're down, and I get all that. But that's Josh Hader. I mean, you've got other guys out there. You know, you've got Barnes out there. You've got Matt Albers out there. All of which I think most Brewer fans at this point would say that are better options than Chase Anderson. And again, I'm not saying Chase Anderson sucks. But in his role is where he needs to pitch right now. And in a one-run game, either up or down, I don't understand that part of it. So hedging your bet based on, number one, a one-run game. But number two, it was in large part based on one catch, as you said, Jeff. It did play a part here. He did hedge toward tomorrow, and it did cost him. Now, as it turned out, the Brewers' offense didn't muster up any more runs, so maybe it's all a moot point, but you guys understand what I'm saying. 799-1250. Sam, if you could grab those batting averages, just do a little gut check on it. Okay, very good. Let's go to Bob in Whitefish Bay. Bob, what's on your mind? Thanks for staying up with us.
Hey, I stay up anyway because I start late. Hey, you know, what I want to ask you is, well, first of all, I kind of agree with you about Chase Anderson, but on the whole, you know, you look, we're 8-3. Pitching's been good. I mean, starting pitching's been decent. We had a Peralta blow up there, but, I mean, they had some key hits, and, you know, this season's been fun.
Big time.
But I wanted, yeah, what?
Big time fun. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. But I want to ask you, I'm looking at the schedule here, and after we leave the Angels, then we've got the Dodgers, Cardinals, Dodgers, and the Cardinals and the Mets, and then Colorado. What do you think is the biggest series coming up?
That's crazy tough schedule. That is a crazy tough schedule, but we're hot and cold here through the four series now. We're into the four series. Thank you, Bob. That's a great question. You know, two of them, very tough. I think everyone can agree with that, Cardinals and Cubs. But it is a stretch that's coming up that is really going to be fun. It just is. Which one is the biggest? I would think that one of the Dodgers series, and that would be the Dodgers series at home for four, that to me sticks out. And then one of the Cardinals series, I don't care where those games are played, home or you know, in St. Louis or on the moon, you're gonna have to win one of those series.
Yeah, you know, the Dodgers one is big because, you know, you're tied for the best record in the National League. I didn't see if the Dodgers won today or not. They lost, so they
to the
are
Cardinals.
Yep, so they are still tied for the best record in the National League with the Dodgers. So, you know, but it's still way early, and it's bragging rights and, you know, a rematch of the NLCS and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, for me, it's always the Cardinals. And, you know, A, division, B, it's the team I hate more than anything else on the planet.
Right.
So for me, both those Cardinals series are just,
they're big, yeah. They're in a division, so I think in a way those are bigger than the Dodgers. That's why I can't pin this thing down to one. I'll say one of each of those. You know, one of the Dodgers series. You got to win one of those series, and one of the Cardinals series, you got to win one of those Cardinals series.
See,
because it doesn't allow you to have a complete meltdown. That's the thing. It will keep you at best floating and just skidding through, or however you want to term it, getting through this part of the schedule.
Yes, and I agree with you. I think that Bob's point was that this Angels series might be the most important series in April because they're struggling and because these are games that you're going to have to win when you're doing the gauntlet of Dodgers St. Louis, Colorado thrown in there. And, you know, Colorado's off to a slow start. They're 3-8 right now. But the Rockies have a lot more talent than a 3-8 team. So they're not going to be down there for long. So I think that that Bob's point was that, you know, this might be the most important series of the month because you need to win these games because you're facing such a juggernaut coming up.
Yeah, maybe it's a situation. You know, you had a long flight east to west, and we discussed over the weekend that, you know, heading out west in any sport, it's just a challenge. It is, regardless of whether you're a basketball team or a football team. And you go out west, crossing a couple of time zones, it's tough for whatever, probably several reasons why it is tough out there. 799-1250 as the Brewers fall tonight, 5-2 the final here. Let's get Sam in here and just do a little gut check on this Brewers offense. I guess we know that Lokane, Yelich, Braun, they're doing their things. As of late, Orlando Arcia, including a 6-for-10 series against the Chicago Cubs, and then he had an RBI base hit his first time up tonight. So he's holding steady. He is after an 0-for-16. Yasmani Grandal is coming on as well. He's starting to get on base, and that's what counts here for Grandal. He's going to play a big part of this. I can tell you that right now. Let's call this Who's Hot, Who's Not, and that's brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Sam, let's check out some numbers.
All right, so as you mentioned, Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich are at the top for the batting averages. Yelich is currently batting .375. Lorenzo Cain currently at .333. And then after those two, we got Yasmani Grandal a little bit above .300, hitting .310. And then after
going 0-for-11 to start the season, Grandal rattled off 8 of his next 15. So he's steadied the ship for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then after Yasmani, surprisingly, we got Hernan Perez hitting .308 right now.
Okay.
Yep. And then underneath him, we got Ryan Braun currently hitting .250.
That's dropping fast.
Yeah,
it is. And, well, they do, but again,
early
we take this as math, though. Early on, the math can be a little deceiving in that Braun goes 4 for his next 11, and then we'll check out the numbers. It's going to be .286 and everything's going to be fine, but you know, so we have to just remember that. But this is just a general idea. It gets worse from here, Sam.
And then, like you said, Orlando Arcia is currently heating up, but he's still batting .242 right now. And underneath him, we got Eric Thames currently hitting .235.
Yeah, most of that damage is done off the bench as a pinch hitter. You know, the guy throws in a start here and there. He goes 0-for. He's such a volatile hitter. And that's the thing, we have to be patient with Eric Thames. I still believe that the first baseman of the future, if you're talking a 2 to 4 year window,
not on this roster.
I don't believe he is yet. And if he is, it's Travis Shaw.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, weren't both, because I know Thames, he hit 2 3-run jacks over the weekend. Weren't both of those as a pinch hitter?
I believe so, yes.
So when he starts, he looks lost. When he comes in cold off the bench, he's launching these rockets.
Yeah, but that could be a really good thing.
I know. It could.
Depending on Zeus, though.
Well, I know, yeah. This series, though, if you're going to keep Thames as a DH, that should help him with the way that things were going, where both of his homers were coming cold off the bench as a pinch hitter. You know, maybe riding the pine and just being the DH will help him. We'll see, but he's got to put some lumber on the ball.
My guess is Ryan Braun will DH tomorrow, then have the day off on Wednesday. He'll have the team off day on Thursday and then go back at it in L.A. That's just my guess. That's probably what they're going to do. But again, all right, so we're down to Eric Thames at what, 230 what?
Five.
Yep.
Then what?
After Thames, we got Ben Gamel and Manny Pena, both hitting 222.
And that's after Gamel raised his average 79 points because of yesterday when he went 2-for-4.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, believe it or not, Zach Davies is hitting better than these Brewers hitters. Mike Moustakas, Travis Shaw, and Jesus Aguilar. Moustakas currently at 194, Travis Shaw hitting 171. And then Jesus Aguilar all the way down to 129.
Come on, man. I know it's early, but you start hitting below the Mendoza line. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it up, guys. Pick it up. I know they will, but the quicker the better. Wow, that's interesting. Brewers pitchers have been the best group of pitchers that are hitting. Gosh, you know, Lee Chacin has a home run. Woodruff, I don't think he has made an out yet.
Nope.
Burnsy was getting on base. I mean, Zach Davies. These guys are doing well. These guys are doing well as a group. I believe they lead the league in hitting as a pitching staff. So that's a good sign as well. How many times over the years, Brewers fans, have the pitchers hurt this Brewers squad? The opposite guys. Yeah, they have. And it's like, man, that's the freaking pitcher. Are you kidding me? But finally, that has turned around a little bit. 799-1250. The correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. I'm going to go with Craig Counsell's move, even though it was sort of a moot point after the fact. It was to allow Chase Anderson to enter the game in a one-run game. And it proved costly as he ends up giving up a two-run home run to Justin Bour. Yeah, the former Marlin that has hit some home runs and some big key situations and hits against the Brewers as a Marlin. But that's your correction of the game. I'll bet you Craig Counsell would want to correct that change. We'll take a break. You want to join the conversation? 414-799-1250. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Speaking of the Admirals, two games left, and they need every little bit of help that they can get. They're making a playoff push. Did you hear about this, Jeff?
They are on fire right
now.
They've been
seven games. Is it seven in a row?
I think so.
Seven or maybe even eight. But they need every bit of help that they can get. They're at home tomorrow, and then they've got a Saturday game. So, guys, the tickets, they're almost sold out, so you can get some tickets right now. But go for it. Brewers aren't at home, so you got a little time to back the hometown team. That is the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Admirals.com for all the information. We'll be back here on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball. But it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
5-2 final. Brewers fall in game one of this three-game set. Interleague action against the Angels out in Los Angeles or Anaheim. Are they still in Anaheim? I believe they are.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they fall in this one 5-2. Before we get to who got lit up, and I think you probably know who got lit up in this one a little bit in a short amount of time. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're next on The Fan. What's happening, dude?
Hey, how you doing? My phone, I fell off the line. But anyhow, is it too early to get concerned about all the gopher balls being served up? We are giving up a lot of home run balls.
So is everybody else around the league. Everybody else around the league gives up home runs.
So relax.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Because the Brewers hit their fair. Brewers are hitting their fair share of home runs themselves. So last year, 218 homers.
7-3, or is it 8-3?
8-3 so far, Mike.
I'm not going to complain. I think that's better than the pace last year.
It is better than the pace, and that's a good way to look at it.
Okay, well, I'll relax then. I listened to the whole game. I'm just disappointed I couldn't help them win. But have a good night. I'll hop off.
All right. You do what I tell my dogs to do, man. When it comes to getting all riled up, just chill. I have to tell myself to chill, like I tell my dogs.
Yeah, you were all knotted up yesterday, you know, with the game and everything. So, you know, I get the same way. You know, with the Packers, you know, if they got down, I would just, instead of drinking at a normal pace, you know, I would go from 0 to 100, like, real quick. So, I'm the same way, man.
Who got lit up in this Brewers 5-2 loss? It wasn't Yoli Chacin, although he did give up 3 runs, but 6 1/3, 3 hits, 3 runs. I mean, I can't call that getting lit up.
That's the only problem with his outing is that he walked 3 guys. But one was the intentional, unintentional to Trout. So, you know, Chacin, he pitched well. He pitched well.
He did. And, however, Chase Anderson. Lit up.
Yeah. He did not pitch
one,
well.
And I'm disappointed, man, I am. And he's still trying to figure things out. The one good thing I can say about Chase Anderson tonight, he did have some extra velocity. That, at some point, is going to come in handy. He touched 96 on the radar gun. And he's not usually a guy that's mid-95, 96 guy. He's more of a 92 to 94 guy at best.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing about it. I would say a line of one inning allowing 2 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, no strikeouts, probably in the lit up category, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. We're getting responses in on the Twitter question today on who will break out of their offensive slump first for the Brewers, Moustakas, Aguilar, Travis Shaw, or somebody else. And people are saying Jesus, that, you know, he's going to bless his own bat and start making that ball fly towards the heavens again.
I'm going to say it's Travis Shaw of a 4-pack of players in Zeus, Moose, Shaw, and Thames. Out of those 4, because those 4 need to pick it up a little bit. Yeah, the home runs are good, and I get it. You can't be disappointed with home runs, as Craig Counsell has taught us back in 2017, I believe he made that comment. But I do believe it's Shaw. I think Shaw is probably the purest of all the hitters, just in terms of drawing some walks, in terms of on-base percentage, hits with some power, knocks in some runs. Here's a guy that has hit 63 home runs his last 2 years in a Brewers uniform, and he's a guy that is well into the 70s, 80s in terms of RBIs, and I would say it's Travis Shaw of those 4. But Chase Anderson, different story. We'll connect the dots in some of these players in just a second. Who got lit up, brought to you by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com. Brewers fall 5-2 tonight. Tim Allen, Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, Sam Schmitz is producing the show as well tonight. There are some common themes amongst those 4 players in some regard, and there's also a couple of more players that are on the pitching staff that I would lump in there as well. And that is Junior Guerra and Chase Anderson. Here's 2 guys, along with a Thames, along with a Zeus. Moose, we kind of know the future.
Right.
We know what's going to happen. He's not long in a Brewers uniform here. It could only be the 1 year. It's possible he's back, you know, next year. Zeus, I think, has a lot of team control, but if you're not producing, and he did last year, so you'd assume he would again. I don't think it's as bad with Zeus, but I would say that Thames, Chase Anderson, and Junior Guerra right now are determining their future in a Brewers uniform.
Yeah, I think so too. They're pitching for they're pitching to stay on the team. Chase Anderson, he still has an option left, so they can send him down if they have to. But yeah, they're all pitching for their baseball lives here. And you would think that, you know, you would hope that they don't take it as added pressure, but they take it as motivation and, you know, something that would help them focus. It doesn't, it's not working out so far, but hopefully they can turn it around.
Yeah. And I don't think that necessarily their major league careers are.
No, their Brewers career.
Yes, the Brewers' careers are in a little bit of a flux here. And this isn't just for what we've seen in 11 games here. This is what we've seen in a year and 11 games.
Yeah.
So that's a bigger, much bigger sample size. That's why you give Zeus the pass, because of what he did. Do I think in a five-year window that Zeus and his career is sort of, you know, going to go in any different direction? Yeah, we don't know yet. We just don't know. He's proven himself. Had a great spring, too, by the way. I don't see what happened when the lights went on with Zeus. He hit like 350 in spring. He had a really nice Cactus League. But just in terms of big picture for Zeus, it's a bigger window of opportunity for Zeus in either direction. Opportunity to leave, opportunity to excel and stay. Thames, short window, big time. Junior Guerra, short window, big time. Chase Anderson, window's starting to shut a little bit. At some point, he's going to have to put up, or the Brewers are going to have to make difficult decisions with Chase Anderson.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. I agree 100% with every single thing you said, Timmy, which is rare.
799-1250. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind Post Game Show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey here in the Hyundai of West Dallas Post Game Studios after a Brewers 5-2 loss. This team fascinates me this year for a number of reasons. The best news that we got is some of the news that Sam Schmitz told us, and that is, those numbers that he just went through.
Uh-huh.
That's good news. That's not such a bad thing. And they're 8-3 despite those numbers.
Right. You know, you're 8-3 with some of the best hitters and most consistent hitters that you had over the last couple years. We all know, you know, that Jesus's numbers went down towards the end of last season, and obviously he's struggling mightily out of the gate here now. But, you know, you ran down Travis Shaw's numbers of the last couple years, his home runs and everything. So the fact that there's multiple guys struggling and the Brewers are still 8-3 is fantastic.
Run differential was plus coming into today's game. So
plus one entering, negative two leaving.
Yep. And you're right there, and you're still 8-3. You're finding a way. I love that. Those comments from Craig Counsell yesterday. It's a term that I've used for a long time here. Just find a way, man. Find a way. And finding a way in a one-run game doesn't mean you put in your mop-up duty guy. And I'm not necessarily saying Chase Anderson is that dude, but if you're tied, Chase Anderson doesn't even – he's not even a thought to go in this baseball game. But since it was a 3-2 game, you're down one, then all of a sudden he's thrown in there. I don't know, maybe a little different direction, and maybe the Brewers, you know, do something. I don't know if that would have affected the offense per se. Timing is everything. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it would have. Maybe, you know, Alex Wilson comes in there for Chacin in the seventh inning, gets a couple of quick outs. He goes back out there for the eighth inning, and maybe the timing is just a little different. Someone steps up to the plate a little bit quicker than they normally would after Chase Anderson gives up a couple of runs. You never know. You just don't know. The other pitcher has to, you know, get right back up there and not get rest on the bench, or you never know. But I don't know if I agree with Craig Counsell. If you're just tuning in, he says he hedges toward tomorrow when the team is losing.
Yeah, I disagree wholly. I think, you know, if he would have put a number on it, you know, when you're down five or more, then absolutely I agree. But in a one-run game, we should have seen Albers. We should have seen Claudio. We should have seen Wilson. We did see Wilson, who bounced back nice after serving up batting practice over the weekend. You know, it's kind of seems like after he threw Hader out there for the eight-out save that he was just trying to steal an extra inning with Chase Anderson, but you didn't have to. You have guys in that pen.
You were in good shape.
Jacob Andrew Barnes, he pitched, you know, a fantastic inning yesterday. You could have thrown him back out there.
I think there's some degree, Jeff. I don't want to fully disagree 100% with Craig Counsell. There is some degree of truth in that. Yes, you do. And it, even, you know, you said five runs. I won't even go that far. I'll shrink it down to maybe in a certain given situation, depending on what order you have coming up, depending on what inning you're in, that you do sort of hedge two, three runs down. You do kind of hedge toward tomorrow a little bit. It does play a factor. And I do agree with that to a certain point. But I think tonight's obvious, that's an obvious answer to what percentage does Craig think of hedging toward tomorrow's game.
Yeah, but with how good this lineup is, I don't think that you can hedge when the game is that close. You have all the big, you know, you got Kane, you've got Yelich, you got Braun, Grandal, you've got Moose, you got all these guys. You know, Jesus and Shaw can both put them over the wall too. You know, that can sit there and tattoo a ball at any moment. That, you know, a two or three run deficit with this lineup is not insurmountable at all. You're a blink of an eye of being tied at all times.
You are. And you do have to consider this as well. There's a lot of factors involved in it. It's one of the most debated things in all of baseball is bullpen management by a manager. And I love it. I love playing that part of the analyst in checking these things out. But the other factor, Jeff, is that you also have to show that you have confidence in the guys that are on your roster and in your pen. You can't go Elmer Descends, you know, a guy back in, 2006 maybe? That, you know, he could go three, four, five a week without pitting. You know, he's just there. He's just wallpaper or something. So you have to show confidence in these guys. But hedging toward tomorrow's game in a one-run game like this, I didn't agree with this. Chase Anderson would have been better suited to wait for a different situation. How about that? I just disagree with this one on count. 799-1250, listening online on radio.com. is Scott from Dubuque, Iowa. Scott, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening?
Like I said, I listened to you guys talk, and I'm playing devil's advocate to what you said. I mean, why is Chase even on the team then? When you give him a chance? You got to be up 10 runs, 5 runs?
Yeah, and that's why I added that additional comment that you do have to show some confidence in the guys that you're carrying right now. So would you have gone to Chase here in the one run game?
Yeah. We got a 5 or 6 game lead in the division early on, right?
No, you're up 3 on Pittsburgh right now.
Oh, Pittsburgh. All right. But we beat everyone else, so we got a little cushion.
You do. We do. Yes.
You got to give him a chance. He was an ace 2 years ago. Last year, here and there.
I'm a Chase fan, man. I like Chase Anderson. I think him and Junior Guerra are pivotal in this season. And we talked about this the other day, Scott, that Junior Guerra and Chase Anderson are going to have to get their stuff together because these young pitchers are not going to go deep into games consistently. You're going to have the bridge guys. And that's Junior Guerra, former starter that can go 2 2/3. That's Chase Anderson, former starter that can go three and a third if you need him to when he's on. I agree with you. But with what you've got in the short game, I'm not sure tonight was the right night for Chase.
I don't know. I just look. You had to give him a chance. I don't see enough Brewers down here. But how much has he pitched this year? And
that's
how long are you going to wait to give him a shot? And
no, that's true. It's short sample size, and that's why it's such a sticky wicket when you're trying to break this stuff down. It's been 11 games.
Yeah.
So it's
tough.
It
doesn't matter. We were lucky to beat a couple division rivals, get a couple games up on them if that matters later. And
yeah.
In June, maybe we drop 15 mil on a reliever or starter.
Could be. And, you know, I was just reading today, Scott, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I was just reading today that this whole Kimbrel thing.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize this, and it's sort of a quirk in the rule. They did offer him, Boston did offer Kimbrel a qualifying offer. So whoever signs him is going to have to give up compensation unless you wait till after the June draft. And I didn't know this. I don't know if this is a new rule. But after the June draft, the way I understand this is that the compensation is now taken off the table.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That's interesting, you know, but I think there's going to be a team that's going to suffer injuries or there's going to be a team that thought they had a chance to compete that's not going to want to wait all the way until June and will pull the trigger earlier. But then again, I thought he was going to get signed before opening day. So, you know, my track record on being right on this whole Kimbrel situation is not the best.
Come on, Jeremy Jeffress. Come on, baby.
Hello.
Come on back. Come on back with some energy, with some health, with some mojo, and with some leadership in that bullpen, because that's another thing that's missing. Jeffress was and is a leader in that bullpen. He is. And that's a big, big hit. That's a big minus for this team. But they're hold and serve, man. They are. That bullpen, they're stepping up and doing everything they can. And having Josh Hader out there is definitely not hurting that pen as well. We'll take a break. Want to hear from Craig Counsell coming up. You want to join us? 414-799-1250. Some late-night Brewers conversation tonight after a 5-2 Brewers loss to the Angels. Game one of a three-game set. Game one of a six-game trip. Out west, they're going to stay right there in the L.A. area. It's the Angels for three, an off day, and the Dodgers for three. Looking forward to that weekend series. But I want to hear from Craig Counsell next. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need. Before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
From the Hyundai of West Allis postgame studios, Tim Allen, Jeff Orlowski, and a Brewers 5-2 loss. Game one of this three-game set to the Los Angeles Angels. Mike Trout and company take game one. And it was actually another tightly contested ball game. I mean, things did get a little sideways, if you will, on Chase Anderson with his performance today. But for the bulk of the game, was a decent game. There was some nice defensive plays in this baseball game on both sides. Andrelton Simmons had a dynamite play early in the game. You had Christian Yelich with a nice play to double up Pujols as well. And obviously Mike Trout taking one back into the park off the bat of Christian Yelich. You just had a tightly contested baseball game here for the most part through, what, seven innings here. 799-1250 if you want to squeeze in here, just a couple of minutes left. We need to hear from Craig Counsell. He hedged his decision toward tomorrow. Let's see, first of all, if he has any comment on that. But number two, I wonder tomorrow if this will come back as a good decision with a pretty full-strength bullpen heading into Game 2 tomorrow. Here's Craig Counsell.
I mean, the play was, you know, I thought Simmons' play against Kane was, you know, the play of the game. I think, You know, I think most shortstop leave their feet for that ball is the big thing. And then if they leave your feet, Kane's going to beat it out. And then we got Yelich up there first and third. So that was the play for sure, to get an out on that ball. That's why he's winning gold gloves. So that was a huge play, obviously. And then the next inning, we get a home run taken away from us. So, you know, they're two good they're two great defenders. Made two big plays and kept probably at least two runs off the board for us.
Didn't catch Bradley. You just had those two home run balls.
Yeah, he scuffled early in the game he just with his command of the fastball a little bit. But then, he kind of just gutted through it and figured out a way, which he's really good at doing. And then he did a nice job, innings 5 and 6. He did a really nice job and got through them pretty good and put us in a position to have a chance.
Trout's catch was so early in the game, but did it feel like kind of a game changer, momentum changer?
I had Simmons play as the game changer. Really, I thought that was the play. It feels like a base hit. When he hits it, and it's a wonderful play. He made it look fairly easy, but it was a really wonderful play.
Did you think it was a home run? It looked like it was close.
I don't. You guys probably saw the replays. I don't. That's you guys probably better angle than I do.
His play, like Simmons, he also made it look rather.
This is a great park for doing that for sure. The fences are a thing baseball should consider, putting fences at this height in every stadium. I think it's fun for outfielders being able to do that. It's an exciting play.
Some of your big boppers are scuffling a little bit. Sean.
Yeah. Yeah, Travis and Aggie are scuffling a little bit, and they'll get going for us. But tonight they scuffled a little bit.
Bruce hit some balls, so he had been scuffling too, and he had a couple of bolts.
That's how it is. I mean, we got to get you need the guys in the middle of your lineup they're there for a reason, and you need offense from them, but they'll get going.
All right, there he is, Craig Counsell, after the Brewers' 5-2 loss, game one of a three-game set. Interesting comment, and I agree with him on putting the height of the outfield walls the same as it is there at Angel Stadium.
Yeah, I do too. Obviously, robbing a home run is, basically one of the most exciting plays that you can get in baseball. There's no way it's going to happen, because Rob Manfred takes away all the excitement out of baseball. The Chase Utley rule, the Buster Posey rule, all that takes away the excitement of the double play, trying to break up the double play, barreling over the catcher, kind of stuff. It's just all the excitement is going away, and it's home runs and strikeouts now. But yes, I agree with Craig Counsell 1,000%. If every wall was this height, you would get more robberies, and it's awesome.
I have been a fan or a proponent of, and not that I'm on a big campaign about it, and I've received a lot of flack about it too. I've been always curious, and all the way dating back to when I was a kid, how, and I remember asking people this, why is it 401 feet to center field at this park, but at the other park it's only 393 to center field? Or why is it 308 to right field in some parks, and then it's 332 in others?
Yeah.
And to me, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but uniformity, I think, is probably something that we'll never get because of the architecture of some of these cool parks. And they want that built in. They want this difference maker kind of look to them. But it just seems strange to me. It'd be like going to Lambeau Field and, you're 50 yards wide in Lambeau, and then you go to Levi Stadium in San Francisco, and it's 62.
I don't mind the different dimensions in the outfield. I had a problem from day one, and it's gone now, but with the hill that was down in Houston, that made no sense. Once they built that hill in Houston, I was waiting for some park to have a moat instead of a, uh, you know, have a moat instead of the warning track with sharks with laser beams on their head swimming around in there. You know, it's just that kind of stuff is ridiculous. But as far as the different dimensions, you know, because if you kept everything the same, obviously there's a big difference in playing in San Diego than there is playing in Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, so it just kind of it gives baseball that cool kind of quirkiness. You know, you got the Monster out in Fenway. So, you know, there's those kind of iconic parks that you don't want to change just to make everything uniform.
No, and the better GMs will build a team a little bit around their park. And if you don't believe that, then take a look at the left-handed power that the Brewers have.
Mm-hmm.
That is specifically for, they say balance. Well, we want a balanced lineup. That's hidden meaning for, we want dudes to launch to the right field seats and homer in Miller Park as left-handed bats.
Well, look at how the Yankees built their lineup. You know, some of the dimensions at New Yankee Stadium are just ridiculous. You know, they got that super short porch out in right. And, you know, you bring in, you know, Stanton and you got Judge and all these guys that, you know, they can spit over that wall from home plate. And, you know, so, yes, there is definitely you build your team. You got 81 games there. So, you know, you got to build your team to fit your home ballpark. That's for sure.
And that's just good gamesmanship. And I understand that. But I've always been curious about the dimensions that's so different in one park to another. And I guess that's part of the allure of what makes, you know, baseball cool and special and different, I guess. All right, well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We'll meet you right back here. Hopefully you have better news for you as the Brewers go at it in game two. Freddie Peralta, let's see what happens next time out, and that's tomorrow. He goes 8 shutout innings in his last start with just giving up a couple of hits. He was dynamite. He follows that up with a gem. Yeah. Oh, man.
Look out.
They may have something here in the 2019 championship season.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show will get you ready for game two. That airs at 8 o'clock, and after the last pitch, you make the switch. We will meet you right here in the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios for the Bayview Shade and Blind Postgame Show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. And don't forget, guys, you're listening to this on the radio.com app, and you're listening to the podcast and the replay and all that. Admirals, huge game on Tuesday night. I believe their final game is Saturday, I want to say. And there are some tickets available, but they need every win they can to get in the postseason. Maybe we'll grab Baby Tausch tomorrow to see if late night he can jump on and give us the skinny on the Milwaukee Admirals.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That is a good idea. Obviously, we've had the C team doing the On Deck show so far this year. We got the A squad tomorrow. Who's hosting that On Deck show, the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show tomorrow, Tim?
Some dude named Tim. So maybe he'll be fired up about a Brewers game, too. Angels and Brewers. Yeah, we'll get you ready. I'll fill in for Jeff Orlowski doing the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. You guys have a great night. For Sam Schmitz, Jeff Orlowski, my name is Tim Allen. Enjoy your evening, if not the outcome, and hopefully there'll be better news tomorrow. And remember, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.